Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome to Good News. This is Deacon Al Lundy. I'm a ordained deacon here in the Peoria Diocese, and this is Good News, and our hope is that this program that comes to you each week on Catholic Spirit Radio can speak to a lot of you, but mostly to teenagers, to open up the Gospels and help them see that there are things in Scripture that will help you in every age of your life, even a teenage, help you with the issues that you face, the hurdles that you face in your life, the joys that you face in your life, help you to understand them better. We go through the readings from the Mass each weekend and talk about them. And we also take questions from our listeners. If you have a question about your Catholic faith or Christianity in general, you can send those to goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. That's our email address, and we will be happy to address your questions on the air. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. You can also listen to our past broadcasts on our podcast section of our website. So we hope you'll tune in then, look in then on our broadcasts as well. So we're nearing the end of Easter, which means we are in spring, and I love spring. I'm a big gardener. I have many, many gardens, hundreds of different species of annuals and shrubs and trees in my yard, and I love to spend time outside and garden. And I especially love early spring as we see the things that have been laying dormant all winter start to come up and come into bloom. And I see a lot of my faith in my garden. That's the time when I do some of my best prayer and where I also get ideas about understanding my faith better by watching the patterns in nature. So I love to garden. I also like woodworking and fishing. So that's three of the big four out of the Scriptures, right? Scripture talks a lot about Jesus being a carpenter and his foster father being a carpenter. There's a lot about fishing because most of the apostles were fishermen. There's a lot of allegory about gardening and about vineyards. And if I were a shepherd, I would have hit all the big fours, but so far not big on herding animals. So, but I do love to garden. And we'll be talking about that in a little bit in our readings coming up, actually over the next few weeks. I'll have some references to gardening, and our gospel today talks about the vineyard again. So we'll show you some of the parallels in that. But the other thing that's happening this time of year is the sacrament of confirmation and of also of First Communion. So a lot of our soon-to-be teenagers, a lot of our eighth graders throughout our area are enjoying or have enjoyed the sacrament of confirmation. The eighth graders that I work with are coming up for confirmation on Thursday, and they're very excited about it. We've been all year preparing for it, and I'm thrilled at the way the year has turned out. This has been just such a great bunch of young people. I've been working with 14 eighth graders from the public schools, preparing for their confirmation, explaining what the sacrament is, and getting them spiritually ready to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit that come through the sacrament of confirmation. And we talk a lot about prayer, we talk a lot about forgiveness, and we talk a lot about decision-making. So much of who we are and who we will be depends on the decisions that we make now as teenagers. I know that when I was a teenager, oh, so many years ago, that with the oncoming of summer, you know, we talk about avoiding the near occasion of sin. As a teenager, summer was my near occasion of sin. There were so many opportunities in summer to make the wrong decision. It seemed multiple times a day there arose the opportunity to make bad decisions. So we spent a lot of this year talking about what makes for a good decision and how to choose the right path, because that is so important, that the habits that we build out of our decisions really determine the people we will be. And the people we are is going to determine where we spend eternity and how we spend eternity. So one of the things I want you to think about as we get into the warmer weather, school lets out, parents are working either at home or away at the office, and you have a lot of the day to yourself. Be very careful about the decisions you make. Every decision we make is a choice between doing the good or doing the evil. Nearly every decision we make is based on that. And so it's a matter of choosing to move closer to God or choosing to move further away. And we have a merciful God, but he's also a very just God. When we talk about people ask, well, how can a loving God send people to hell? God doesn't send people to hell. People, unfortunately, choose hell over an eternity with God through the free will decisions that we make during the day. We can choose to move closer, in which case Jesus welcomes us. And when eternity comes, he gives us what we've been wanting. He gives us an eternity with him. But if we reject Jesus and our decisions take us further from God's love, well, he's going to give us that as well because that's our choice. And so he's going to extend that choice to us for all eternity. So if we want to be with God, we can be. But if we choose to be away from God, we will be. And it all comes down to not God's power over us, but it comes down to our love for God. And that's reflected in the decisions that we make. We see some of that in the decisions that Paul makes in our first reading this weekend. It's from the Acts of the Apostles. And it talks about Paul meeting the apostles of Christ and about how they were very leery of Paul, and for good reason. If you remember from early on in the Acts, Paul was primarily responsible for seeing that the stoning of Stephen, one of the deacons of early deacons of the church, was carried out by a mob. And although it doesn't say that Paul raised his hand personally, it does say that he encouraged the action. And in fact, he held the cloaks. Wasn't that kind of him? Yeah, you want to stone a man to death? I'm not going to interfere. Can I hold your coat for you? And that's the kind of man that Paul was. He was very, very dedicated to his Jewish faith. And so he saw the early church, the early Christianity, as a huge, huge threat to Judaism. And so he made it his personal mission to destroy the Christian church and to do that by destroying Christians. So on his way to Damascus, he has this metanoia, this sudden eye-opening experience. Well, I guess eye-closing in the case of Paul because he was struck blind. But this sudden experience where he's exposed to Christ, a personal experience with Christ. And through that experience, Paul became a disciple. And it wasn't hurried. It wasn't like he was knocked down by lightning and the next day sought out the disciples. In fact, once all this happened to him, he went into the desert for 3 years to really think about this change in himself and to learn about Christ and to study with Christ, to really understand who he was and what he was. And once he fully understood his new mission, which was not to persecute Christians, but to bring people to Christianity, he returned to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem area, and he sought out Peter and the apostles. And when he found them, they were very, very scared of him, and for good reason. He didn't have the best reputation, and they weren't sure he was being honest with them. But after a time of watching him preach in the area, especially Barnabas, who hung around with Paul and really took a close look at who he had become, went back to the apostles and said, no, this is the real thing. We need to welcome this man back in. I think it's a great lesson for all of us because we all at one point in our life wander away from our faith. And we're not really sure who we are and what we are. And here's a situation where Paul, at his very worst, was able to discover Christ, was able to enter into relationship with Christ. And through that became one of the real guiding forces of the early church and one of the most prolific writers in Scripture. That can be true of any of us. We're never so far away from our faith that we can't come back or that we can't turn a new direction. And Paul is a great example. And if you're having trouble with your faith, I would suggest that in your prayer, not only that you you pray to God and talk with God, but you ask for the intercession of St. Paul to help you find the strength and the courage that he found to turn back and return to the love of Christ and the love of Christ's flock. I personally, my confirmation name was Paul, and I took that for that very reason. I thought if Paul, in his stubbornness and in his current way of life, could change and find Christ, well, so could I. So that was a big reason why I selected Paul. Plus, we had both been thrown off horses, so I shared that with him at least. So our first reading about Paul, and suggest you sit down. It's a great story about how Paul returned to the faith and about how he entered into the fold with the apostles. So if you're interested in that, that's in the that's our first reading from Sunday. It's Acts of Apostles, chapter 9. And I suggest you open the good book, and take a look at that. We'll come back with more information, more readings from this weekend's Masses, more reflection, right after we pause for these messages.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
While you may enjoy listening to our daily talk programs here on Catholic Spirit Radio, you might also crave some additional prayerful moments. For times like this, you can temporarily switch to the Spirit Radio 89.5 app or go online to CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Choose the listening option called Radio Essentials. Day and night, Radio Essentials will broadcast exclusively the Holy Mass, Rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplets, prayers, and devotionals.
Welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al Lundy and speaking with you on Catholic Spirit Radio, and happy to be here every Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock for about 30 minutes to just talk to you teenagers and to teenagers of all ages about our Catholic faith. I mentioned earlier in the program that we're coming close to our confirmation for our 8th graders, and I teach one of the 8th grade classes for confirmation preparation. And you never really know with 8th graders. They can be kind of quiet when adults are talking to them or when they're in the classroom situation. And you don't always know if you're getting through to them or not. And I have to say, this particular 8th grade class has been an absolute joy to work with. And one of the reasons is they're a talkative group. They have lots of questions. And they're not afraid to speak up and ask them. They can be a little, they like to challenge what they're learning about their faith or ask for deeper information. And it's been so much fun to work with them over that. And a great thing happened about midway through our year. I guess it was both great and sad in a way. They asked, so what's the next step? What happens next year? We're getting confirmed this year. What's the next step? And I had to kind of, you know, look down at my shoes and shuffle around a little bit and say, well, you know, nothing. And that's really sad. Eighth graders and the parishes, the parish I'm with primarily, does not have a teenage program. And as a deacon, I reached out to my deacon brothers and found out that really there's just one Catholic parish in town that has an active, a really large active teen program, which was kind of sad to learn. We hem and haw and we, you know, kind of beat ourselves up with the fact that isn't it a shame that we don't see more teenagers at Mass? Isn't it a shame that more college students don't attend Mass? Although I must say, here at Illinois Wesleyan and Illinois State University, we have a very active student Catholic community. But that's not that true on a national basis. And we know that a very small percentage of Catholics that once they start attending college, many of them, and it's like 80%, stop going to Mass. And that's really sad. But on the other hand, we have to kind of look inward and say, so where's that habit or that lack of habit coming from? And part of it is that our students and us as adults tend to treat confirmation as a finish line. I even know some parents who look at confirmation, okay, you've been confirmed, you're done. And that's not the case at all. Confirmation, if anything, is a starting line. That's saying you've completed your sacraments of initiation. You're just joining your faith. There's so much in the Catholic faith. It is so intricate and so rich and so beautiful. You can't possibly learn it in the short time that students are in religious ed from second to eighth grade. You just can't learn it all. And this group that I've been working with realized that themselves. And they came to me and said, we want more. You need to come up with something for us for next year. We want to keep going. And I was absolutely thrilled by this. So I said, well, if we're going to go forward, it has to be what you want and not what I want, because there's no carrot dangling at the end other than heaven, which is a pretty big carrot, but there's no sacrament waiting for you around the corner. I mean, these are 12-year-olds, and for most of them, the vast majority, the next sacrament waiting for them is matrimony. And that's hopefully many years down the road. And so in between, there's really no religious preparation for them in most of our parishes. So I said, if we're going to do something, it's going to be what you want to do. So we've spent the last 2 weeks, I've sat out in the hallway to give them free rein of discussion, and they have developed their own outline for their own youth program to carry them through high school. And I got to tell you, it's a fabulous program, what they've come up with. Just amazing. And so now I'm on the search for finding help. I'm looking for people to help us make this possible. But they have really taken the reins. I mean, they're selecting youth officers for this group. It was really funny. I asked them what the name of their organization was going to be. And they said, well, do we really have to have a name? I said, well, if you don't have a name, what are we going to put on the T-shirts? I said, oh, there's going to be T-shirts. I said, well, not if you don't have a name. So now they're working. We'll see what they come up with in a couple of weeks here. They're working on a name, and a few of the guys in the class are working on a logo. So they really have taken this on to themselves, which is what faith should be. You should have some internal excitement about this. You should be drawn to your faith, not forced into it by parents or friends. It should come from within. And so I see great hope in this group of eighth graders that I really see the Holy Spirit at work in them. In fact, one of the things I said, what's the goal? Give me a list of things you're looking to accomplish. And among that list was mission work. God bless them. These are young people who have not even turned 13 yet, who want to do mission work. And that's what our faith is all about. So many people, unfortunately, look at the Catholic Church and see nothing but rules. You must do this, you can't do that. And that's not what our faith is. This is a faith of love, generosity, forgiveness. And mission work is a reflection of that love and generosity. Mission work is putting yourself out, giving of yourself for the sake of others and for helping others. And God bless these eighth graders that was one of the first things they said they wanted to do as they move forward, was to get involved in mission work. And you don't have to go out of the country to do that. You don't even have to go out of state. You don't even have to leave your neighborhood to do mission work. There are people in this town who need your help. And that's evidenced by the number of people who come for meals at Salvation Army, who come to St. Vincent de Paul for clothing and for food, for groceries. There is a tremendous need in this town for mission work. You might even have someone in your neighborhood or in your family, elderly, shut-in, someone with medical issues who need help with the upkeep of their home. Maybe they need some small home repairs that you could help with, or yard work that could be done. Put in a garden for someone who's homebound, so they can at least enjoy the beauty of God's nature. That's what a wonderful thing to do. That in itself is mission work. So don't think that you're ever too young or too old to be able to set aside some of your precious time, and time is precious. But you've been given skills. We all have talents from God, and they've been given to us to use. You don't hide the light under a basket. God sends us out to be the light of the world. He expects us to take these talents that he's given us and go out and use them to express his love for people through our love for other people. So I'm just so excited about this group of young people who, like I say, they're 12 years old, some 13, who are looking at, are asking the question, how do we give of ourselves to help others? So I have high hopes, and we'll keep you posted to see how this youth program goes or what we do with it. But I'm very excited for it, and I'm very excited for what's happening in these young people. The Holy Spirit is obviously acting within them to bring about these kind of questions and these sort of desires in them. So what a great way to wrap up our confirmation year than to hear that whatever the Holy Spirit's been talking to him about during the year, it's happening. And that just made my couple of weeks for me. Just if the flowers breaking through the ground in my yard didn't cheer me up, that certainly did. We've got a few minutes left. Let's talk about the rest of the readings. We talked about the first reading of the Mass this weekend. We've got Paul has finally returned from his prayer and meditation and visits with Christ in the desert and is ready now to begin his public ministry. But he doesn't want to do it alone. He wants to make sure that those who Jesus selected to grow the church accept him. So he went in search of Peter and the apostles, and he found them, and he presented himself to them for the good of the church, to help the growth of the church, and they were a little hesitant. But Barnabas kept a close eye on Paul and came back and said, no, this is the real thing. And we see some of that in the letter. Our second reading is a letter from John. And what John talks about is it's not enough to talk a good game. You got to do the work. And that really refers back to the first reading, because if all Paul did was evangelize, it might be easy for the apostles to say, this is a show, this is a cloak. He's hiding who he really is. So what Barnabas looked at wasn't just the words that Paul used, but his actions. And that's what John tells us as well, that you can't just talk a good game. You actually have to go out and do the work. God calls us to two things, to love God with all our hearts and to love others as ourselves. And if all you do is say, I love God, or all you do is say, I love other people, it's not enough. Christ calls us to action. James talks about that in his letters as well, that words without actions are hollow. It's a bell without a clapper. It looks good, but it doesn't make any noise. It doesn't do the job of the bell. And we're the same way. If all we do is talk about our faith and we don't engage in our faith and engage others in our faith, then we're a sham. It's a falsehood. So both in John and in our first readings, they're really talking about going deeper, actually showing your love for others through your actions to others, not just through your words. Showing your love for Christ by your actions, not just through your words. And one of those actions has to be Mass. There's no getting around it. Mass is the ultimate worship in our faith. And if you're avoiding Mass, either in person or online right now because of COVID, a lot of people are still attending Mass online. But if you're not making time to do that, you're talking a good game, but you're not playing the game. If you go around saying, hey, I'm a great baseball player, but you never play, people are going to pretty soon realize that you're not who you say you are. If you talk about Christ, but you don't do Christ-like actions, people are going to realize that you're not telling the truth. You're not who you say you are. So one of the basics of being a Catholic is taking the time out to worship, to pray, and to pray in community, which is what church is. It's simply a conversation with God in communion with other believers. And it's fine to pray on your own, but that doesn't exclude church. And thank goodness, in our area, we're starting to see a slight increase in church attendance. COVID is starting to let up in our area in many ways. We have a lot of people now who have been vaccinated. All those in our room who have been vaccinated, raise your hand. Okay, half of us. But we do see more people getting vaccinated, and I think that's helping relieve some of the fear. But you need to be at Mass, whether it's streaming or in person, and I hope you would come in person. We're making most of our parishes, even though we're limited to 25% of our capacity, we've also opened up overflow areas in our churches so that we can accommodate more people. And if you're just watching at home online, you're still missing out on the Eucharist, and that's the source of our energy in this church. It's the core of who we are is in the body and blood of Christ. So you need to get back to the Eucharist. And many churches have made it possible for you to not only be in church in person again, but to at least come to the church at the end of Mass and receive communion outside. If you're not sure how to do that, check with your parish. They'll tell you if they're doing that, and most of them are, and how to go about doing that. But you need that. You need that food. You need that meal with Christ. You need to have Him in you and you in Him, and that comes through that sacrament of the Eucharist. So we hope you'll make that possible. We're running out of time. We really didn't even get into the gospel, which is a shame. But I will tell you this: it talks about gardening. And if any of you are in gardening, you know that you've got to cut out the dead branches in order for the shrub to bloom. And that's really what we're talking about, and that's what's going to happen with our faith. When it comes time for the judgment day, these dead branches are going to be cut away, they're going to burn, and the plant, the church, is going to bloom fully. So you don't want to be one of those dead branches. You want to keep yourself connected to the root, which is Christ, and we do that again through the Mass. Thank you so much for being here with Good News. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you again next Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock here on Catholic Spirit Radio. God bless.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.